ESPN analyst. Quiet weekend, nothing going on in the sport, Darren. Just boring time, right?
Yeah, you know, just nothing really. Games bad, you know. No tournament. Boring.
All right, I want to get to the games because, frankly, I hadn't spent enough time talking about it. But I've got to ask you first. Shaka Smart, as well as Greg Marshall, have, I won't say they've had their pick of jobs, but they could have made moves at any point in the last couple of years. Why do you think they are apparently more open to looking at leaving now than they have been?
Oh, I think it's a couple of things. I think one, you know, it depends on the opportunities that are available. And I think you look at whether it's Alabama or Tennessee or Texas, that maybe those are more attractive in some ways than, say, in Illinois or some of the other ones that have been out there. And I think the second thing that has happened is both guys go to a Final Four. They both continue to get their teams back to the NCAA tournament. But also think the realization that, you know what, the opportunity to legitimately compete for a Final Four and a national championship at the school I'm at is not happening. We can be good, we can be competitive, we can make the tournament, but we're not going to be real contenders. And I think for guys that want to compete at the highest level and have a chance to work this coming weekend, as Tom Izzo likes to say, I think that reality is setting in for both of them. And so if they see opportunities that give them a chance to do that, then I think they're more open to it now maybe than they were a few years ago.
I know there are different levels within mid-majors, but you had a job at a place that had great tradition. I know you're there in the shadow of the Wildcats when you were at Western Kentucky, but that's not dramatically different from what, you know, Marshall has dealt with at Wichita State in terms of dealing with Kansas. How tough is that call, especially when you've invested as much as you had there in Bowling Green when a bigger school with more resources comes calling?
Well, I mean, it's not easy simply because, you know, you're invested in the place. You feel a debt to the people that gave you an opportunity. You know, most importantly, the relationships with the players and what you've put into with them and what you've shared and built with them. But I think as a professional, you know, you get to the point where you feel like, you know, have I done all that I can do at this school? And you want a new challenge and you want a new opportunity and you want a chance to test yourself at a high level. You know, again, as good a job as Greg Marshall and Shaka Smart have done, you know, to be competitive in the non-conference on occasion, and then when you get in the tournament, it's a totally different thing than to lace them up in the Big 12 and the SEC every single night. And I think on some level, as a professional, you want to challenge yourself and prove to yourself that you can do that.
Talking to Darren Horn of the SEC Network and ESPN, let me throw this at you. Greg Marshall comes to Alabama. Rick Barnes winds up at Knoxville. Mississippi State's added Ben Hallett already. Of course, Auburn added Bruce Pearl last year. In terms of the profile of this league, what are we looking at when we tip off next season if those scenarios all occur?
Well, I think there's one caveat with that, and that is where are John Calipari and Billy Donovan next year? You know, if there's even an outside chance that they end up in the NBA, that changes things. But assuming that Billy and Cal are back, I think it's a huge step to the league. I think it raises the profile. I think it shows commitment to basketball. And I think you have to assume that those programs will all get better and make strides. And we already were in a year this year where five teams were in the tournament. One of them was not Florida. And so I think you're looking at a huge step for the SEC if that happens.
I had Mark Wise on an hour ago from the Gator Network, so probably should have asked him this. But you've kind of intrigued me. Do you get the sense that maybe Billy feels like he's done all he can do in Gainesville?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if it's that as much as, you know, every year they come calling, how many times are you going to say no? You know, and I think that he had the back-to-back championships. He had the incredible run, you know, with the Patrick Young and the Wilbekin class. And, you know, this year reality set in for him. I'm sure he's very frustrated. You know, and really what Florida dealt with this year to some degree is just what every college program deals with you know, normally somewhere in a 4 or 5 year span, they're going to have a down year. And that's not something that they're used to. And I just, you know, I think the big issue is control. You know, these guys that have had opportunities to get in the NBA, Stan Van Gundy was one while he was out. You know, they're not going back unless they get control, or they're not going to take that jump if you're a Billy Donovan unless they get control. But if an Orlando Magic comes back and or at OKC and offers him the job and gives him control of drafting and players, you know, I mean, who knows? It could happen.
Darren Horn joining us from the SEC Network and ESPN. The Tennessee situation with Donnie Tindall basically having to be let go. That's not a move they wanted to make, obviously, but they virtually had no choice whatsoever there. So if you're Dave Hart, do you go safe with Rick Barnes? Do you go young with somebody else that's out there? Which route do you think they go in Knoxville?
You know, at this point, and we talked about this about the Alabama job a few weeks ago, you know, I don't think they're in a place to swing for the fence like Alabama is trying to do with Greg Marshall. Don't know if they're going to commit those resources. Don't know that that kind of guy would have an interest given the turmoil and the lack of roster that they're going to inherit. I think if they can get Rick Barnes, if they can get a guy like Andy Kennedy, like I've mentioned before, an established guy that's won at that level, I think they have to do it before they go young and take a Will Wade or Steve Prohme or whoever it might be.
All right. The games themselves, the most important part. Hard to have asked for anything more than we got out of the round of eight, certainly in the entire Sweet 16. But when the ball left Grant's hand in the corner, did you think it was going in?
No, I didn't think he could even see the basket. If he did, I thought it was going to be luck of the Irish. And
yeah,
you know, that we did a thing on the network, all the different streaks that the Irish have broken over the years, four big ones in football, and then of course Digger Phelps breaking UCLA's 88-game streak. I thought, well, maybe it's that, but I didn't think it was a good look at all. You got Willie Cauley-Stein and Andrew Harrison chasing you. That's not a good look at the basket.
No, I was just stunned that he got the shot off. That's why I thought, okay, if he's even able to get the thing off, maybe it is going to go in, just because of the things you've talked about, and also the unlikelihood that he could even get that shot off from that position in the corner. And good grief, it was dead on. It was just too strong. So now we've got the final four, and you've got virtually the who's who of coaches right now in the game. Certainly, if not the four best, four of the best. So anything to change your mind from an SEC perspective that it's Kentucky, or is this the one matchup that can really, really get them?
No, I mean, I don't think it is. I mean, I've been saying for weeks, I said it on Selection Show Sunday on the SEC Network. I made them play it back on Thursday night after Kentucky won. I thought Notre Dame was the toughest matchup for them. I really believe that just because of how they played. And their ability to spread the floor. I think they're going to beat Wisconsin, and if they don't, I have no reason to doubt that they will, Chris. I mean, this team has answered every call in a game where Notre Dame played terrific, and Notre Dame didn't play out of their minds. I mean, that's what they do. This is a team that won the ACC tournament, beat Duke and North Carolina twice. I mean, it was a really good basketball team that was well-built to compete against Kentucky. But Kentucky stops them three straight times down the stretch and scores on their last nine possessions. I mean, that is the epitome of executing in the clutch, and they've continued to do it all year long. People act like they haven't had close games. They have had close games where they've had to execute, and they've answered every call. I see no reason why they won't do it against Wisconsin. And a big reason is I don't think Kaminsky's as big a matchup problem for Kentucky as people are making him out to be. I think Connaughton is. I think Jaren Grant might be. But I don't think Kaminsky is. I think Kentucky's bigs will guard him fine.
The other semifinal, and I can't believe that we say the other when you're talking about Mike Krzyzewski and Tom Izzo, but that's kind of how it's perceived. Who do you like advancing to face the Cats?
I like Duke. I wish it was Michigan State. I'm a Tom Izzo and a Michigan State fan. But I just
you're part of that tree, aren't you?
Spread the floor. I am. I've got a good relationship with those guys. I talk to them regularly. I talked to Coach Izzo last week. I mean, I think he really likes his team. He loves how they're playing. He felt good going in to that Sweet 16 and Elite Eight round. But I think the Duke matchup is difficult. You know, one of the things they've had as an advantage, and they've played really good defense, but they've played good defense against Virginia and Louisville in their two biggest wins, who aren't great offensive teams. And I just think Duke is going to be a tough matchup for Michigan State, especially with the emergence of Justin Winslow in the tournament. Not that he hasn't played well this year, but he's been a nightmare in a couple of these games in the NCAA tournament.
For those that don't know, when I said you're part of the tree, you worked under Tom Crean at Marquette, who, of course, worked under Izzo at Michigan State. Some of Izzo's practices in order to build toughness are legendary. Football gear, right? Helmet, shoulder pads?
I don't think he's done that in a few years, but there's just that incredible culture of toughness there. And he's a guy that still coaches him, you know, still gets after him. I mean, watch him during the games, Chris. I mean, every little thing, even at the end of regulation, when Travis Trice had time for one more dribble to get closer to the shot and the goal, Tom Izzo doesn't, like, clap and say, all right, we're going to overtime. He's looking at Trice like, what are you doing? You had time for one more dribble. You could have got closer. Always coaching him, always challenging his guys. And I think one of the things that's interesting, Chris, maybe a conversation for another day in another segment, but, you know, you look at the four coaches that are left, old school guys that challenge their teams, that get after their kids, that set high standards. You know, so, you know, the warm and fuzzy is great to score points and make everybody feel good. But if you want to advance in March, you got to have some old school toughness, and these programs have it.
Last thing, and I'll let you go. Those are four old school guys that have been doing this a long time. There is another coaching vacancy that hasn't drawn a lot of attention, and understand why. It's Southern Illinois, Edwardsville. But the only reason I bring it up now is John Brannan, who was the interim head coach once Anthony Grant was replaced, is one of the two finalists for that, along with John Harris. Just your thoughts on John and what it's like trying to go through that quest to go from the first chair to your first job, and how tough it is to get that at this level.
You know, it's really tough. There's so many people out there. You know, used to be, if you're a guy like John Brannan that had been in a good program and kind of earned your keep, so to speak, it was just a matter of time before you got a shot. Now they're hiring NBA guys and people that haven't coached. And Chris Mullins, the front runner at St. John's, which is an absolute joke to me. You know, so, I mean, it's tough. And I think really all you're looking for is an opportunity. And, you know, he's got one in Southern Illinois, Edwardsville. I think he'll be involved at Northern Kentucky if he wants to be as well. He's a guy that's very talented. He's been around, done some really good things. And the kind of guy that, you know, as somebody that's been in the business a long time, you know, I like to see get opportunities. I think that's what this is all about. And he's definitely put in the time.